Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers, and today's conversation is with General Edward Harrington, Director, Defense Contract Management Agency. Well, I understand that DCMA recently issued an annual business plan. Could you tell us about this plan?
Yes. That business plan's foundation is what we call our strategic plan. Our strategic plan lays out our goals for the next year, but it also looks to the future in terms of what we want DCMA to do in accordance with the guidance we receive from Congress, from the administration, in terms of pursuing our acquisition support and contract management mission and all of the acquisition reform and reinvention efforts that we need to address in support of our customers. So the strategic plan is the basis upon which we formulate the business plan, which outlines the specific actions we need to take to be able to make our mission processes more effective and more efficient. That business plan arises out of our continual assessment of how we're doing. And we have a DCMA integrated management system that we use as a structure to be able to assess every one of our mission processes and how we're supporting our customers. And it identifies for us our strengths and our weaknesses and the opportunities we have and then some of the threats that we have that we need to go out and address to be able to overcome. We follow with the business plan, which is our contract with our Department of Defense superiors, and flow that out to our subordinate field activities who take that business plan and develop performance plans from that. And in fact, those performance plans become performance contracts with us at the DCMA headquarters level. And we assess their performance on a yearly basis through a series of reviews, management reviews and financial reviews, and then special process reviews if we find a process that needs focus and needs correction and needs improvement. So the process is very mature. It's due in large part to the emphasis placed by the senior civilians, DCMA, their consistency in their leadership, and then the consistency and focus by each one of my predecessors as the commanders. It's a mature process. It's one we practice regularly. It's one we've seen that produces results for us. And it also highlights for us what we need to do for the customer in the future, which I think is a very, very important function.
Well, it's funny you mentioned the customer because you said you've been a customer of DCMA. And so I'm wondering what DCMA is doing to focus on customer service.
Our focus on customers, we have a motto, one focus, customer focus, around the world, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's just not an advertising slogan. Everything we do, we look at how we're interacting with the customer. We have customer liaison representatives in most of the large major acquisition and buying commands in each one of the services. Each one of our senior leaders in DCMA interacts regularly, has relationships with our senior military service acquisition and readiness managers. Likewise, I do that at the Department of Defense level along with the Deputy Director, Mr. Tom Brunk, so that we try to get a pulse regularly of what the customer requirements will be, how the customer intends to acquire either systems or components, assemblies, or spare parts, and then take from that where we need to apply our best efforts. We use what we call our risk assessment management program to determine where the customer requirements need the most focus from our perspective. That mandates to us that we have a detailed dialogue with the customer where we can outline to the customer where best we think our skills need to be able to help the customer the best. For example, if we have a program that's a brand new acquisition program, if it's a fighter, if it's a tank, or if it's a new ship, and the contractor has a supplier base, we want to take a look at how that contractor manages that supplier base so that we can assure that either material, aluminum, steel, printed circuit cards, those types of components that are required early on in a program for integration, that we are able to help the customer judge the effectiveness of those suppliers in providing those types of components for the start of the program. And then we have processes that we use to go out and actually evaluate contractors and their processes. And we provide those insights to our service acquisition managers and at the same time dialogue directly with the contractors involved. And where we see there's a need for an improvement in the process, we have a We have a very frank, open dialogue, both with the contractor and with our acquisition program manager customers.
Well, let me follow up on that, because I did want to ask, how does DCMA evaluate and monitor contractor performance?
The risk assessment management program is a basis upon which we allocate the right people to the right contractor. We go through a series of pre-award surveys that go out and judge the contractor's business practices, the contractor's manufacturing practices. We use a set of commonly accepted processes and rules to be able to determine how effective that contractor is in their processes, all the way from how they buy materials and how they subcontract to how they actually manufacture, and then how they actually manage a program for a service customer. After contract award, we engage with the contractor to go actually surveil the production processes, whether it's hard steel production type or aluminum, manufacturing or airplanes or ships or tanks, to looking at how they manage their software development processes. And we've got skills in each one of those areas, including centers of excellence for those types of things. We have specific groups of people that we can bring to bear on helping a contractor resolve a problem, or just making sure the contractor's on notice that they need to do something to help make it better.
How does DCMA help build the partnership between its customers and the contractors?
I think we're a facilitator, Paul. We use such things as management councils. Management councils arose out of the single process initiative, where the Department of Defense and Congress wanted to see more efficient processes and where you could adopt a common process such as welding or packaging. The Department of Defense required us to be the facilitator between the program manager and the contractor to kind of find commonality in processes. From that single process initiative management council process, we've evolved where we identify issues for resolution on a regular basis beyond those types of things, where a contractor may have a problem with quality assurance, for instance, and their expertise may not be adequate, or their quality assurance finds too many rejects. We use the management council process as a way to facilitate corrective action, improvement in processes, and we pull in the program manager, customer, and the contractor. And we're the ones with the facts. We're the ones with the information that says, here's how you performed over the last quarter or the last 6 months, and here are the areas you need to look at and address to make it better. So we're a facilitator in all that, but we also call ourselves a partner in trying to build that enterprise between contractor and program manager. Ultimately, it's the warfighter out at the front lines or in the air or on the ocean that will have to benefit from that. That program manager is one of the primary representatives of that user out there in the field. And that's what we tune ourselves towards when we sit down with these folks. It's a regular, mature process, works very well. More to be done regularly in that, but it's a good framework to be able to establish that partnership and to be the facilitator.
Do you think the promises of those type arrangements, the partnership arrangements, have been fulfilled? Let me give you an example. I mean, if done correctly in the private sector, it could actually result in less competition. Good suppliers are rewarded, and yet the framework of the government requires competition, understandably so. So I'm wondering about that tension and whether it really ever comes to the level one might imagine.
That's always a juggle. We want to foster competition. Our ability, I think, to go across the contractor base on a very, very wide, broad spectrum, I think, engenders that competitive aspect, because we, at times, we'll focus on a contractor, and there's always the implication that we're helping that contractor's competitive position. We find that we're pervasive throughout the contractor base. So if contractor A produces something and contractor B does, most often we find we're with both contractors in different functions. Our defense contractor base, we have some contractors that have multiple contracts with the Army, with the Navy, with the Air Force, and with the Marines in some cases. So the ability to foster growth in that contractor, we watch the contractor. Their ability to compete, I think, isn't reduced because of our involvement with another contractor specifically.
It's time for a break. We'll be right back with more of the Business of Government Hour.